Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Joe George filling in for Del here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del will return tomorrow to the station. He is off today. Happy birthday, Del. Still not sure if it's really his birthday or not. But if John says it, it must be true. So. Whatever John says.
Yes. And whatever John Granada says goes around here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know if it's birthday. Dale is a very...
He doesn't come off as someone that takes off for his birthday, though.
Yes, but he's also very mysterious. So no one does know why he's off. Not that you need to give an excuse, but yeah. We have our questions. And I don't think off the top of our heads... any of us know Dell's birthday? I know I definitely don't.
I don't.
I know I don't, you
I mean,
don't.
Frankly, I don't know anyone's birthday that I work with.
I know Paul's just because it's like a week or two before mine.
Like, are we supposed to? Like, that's not something we need to know.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's necessary, but it is something that if you work with someone long enough,
I know Joel and Jeremy's is close because I know that when the whole office signed a birthday card for Jeremy, Joel was very upset that it didn't happen to him, even though. Spoiler alert, Jeremy signed all the names for the entire company himself and gave himself the card and bought himself the cake. And it was just a bit. Sorry, Joel, if you didn't know that. But so I know their birthdays are close. I know what my birthday is. That's about it.
I know. Yeah. Again, I only know Paul's just because when it was Vanessa, Paul and I, our birthdays were in consecutive weekends.
Yeah.
We're just all...
makes it easy.
It was 3 weeks in a row with our birthday. So, yeah, I know Paul's like the 9th or 11th of April.
CJ Stroud is not throwing at OTAs. General soreness in his shoulder. He's shooting hoops, though. There's a video going around. Now, to be fair, I don't know for sure when this video was taken. I believe it is from a recent event that he was at. You know, I think the people who are worried or trying to make this into a thing, I'm a little surprised that people are concerned about this at all. Because I wouldn't be concerned until, I don't know, Sean, is August fair? Like, if he's not throwing in August, then I'm like, okay.
I think first day of training camp, you're...
yeah, that's August, I guess.
Yeah, maybe the last
maybe
week of
like
July.
Yeah.
But it is like, it gets to a point where it is like, so I think the explanation of general soreness wears thin. Like, we would need a actual diagnosis of something, you know, beyond, Aaron Wilson had a report about what the specific injury was. I think, was it a shoulder thing? And I think we would need
shoulder muscle.
Yeah, we'd need a little bit more. On that, and we need to know why, because they haven't played a game since January.
Yeah, I do. We're in conspiracy theory land. I've seen people posting photos of... it actually reminds me of the Jose Altuve buzzer theory, the photos that are going around. It's photos of CJ Stroud at a press conference, I think after the Baltimore Ravens game. And it kind of looks like he's wearing a shoulder brace, but he's also just wearing a hoodie. So, you're not entirely sure what's going on, but we're kind of in the conspiracy theory realms. Of CJ Stroud right now, but training camp is the right answer. Is if he's not throwing at training camp, that's the only time when you have to actually worry about CJ Stroud. For now, there's no concern about CJ. They don't play football till September. I know he's learning a new offense and he has to learn to throw to his new receivers and they'll figure it out. They got so much time. I'm not concerned at all.
Yeah, the new offense and new receivers. That's why it's honestly the first day of training camp is the day for me. Yeah. It's just because of all those factors. If this was, and I know everyone is gonna immediately start vomiting in their car when I say this, but if this was another year of Bobby Slowick as the offensive coordinator, I even think that the first week or two of training camp, it's like what are we really learning
same
here?
Offense.
Yeah, if it's the same offense, so I think that. For the most part, voluntary minicamp, and as we move into mandatory minicamp, I think that it's something that it's fair to ask why he's out. I think it's fair for D'Amico Ryans and Nick Haley, every time they're in front of a microphone, to say we're not worried in the slightest about this. I just think that at a certain point, it does become something they need to, like, at least come up with a better answer for.
No, at some point, it does matter because you are learning a new offense. Like, yeah. For me, that time is not now. No. I'm not ready on June 4th to be, like, outraged at C.J. Stroud. And honestly, I think if you are, I think it's fake outrage. Now, you could have real concern, but if you're like, why is he not throwing? Does he not care? You're just being an idiot.
The only benefit of the doubt, because I found myself doing this on Monday and a little bit on Tuesday, although I think my feelings developed throughout the two shows. But I think specifically for Texans fans that also happen to be Astros fans, this is the worst possible time for this to have happened.
There is a rub off. There is a rub that it happens in this city with injuries because of the Astros.
It's like sometimes, Joe, I'm gonna give an example that speaks to you, as a father, even though I'm not a father.
Yeah.
Or
anything that ever, like any bad take that ever happens on this station is associated with me at this point. There's nothing I can do about it. But like, Joe must have said it.
Yeah,
I'm not on the air anymore.
Oh,
why am I on Bad Take Boulevard? It's not me.
I was gonna go in a different direction. I was gonna say it's like if you are okay, I can work with this. If you're in your car driving home at 4 o'clock and you hear the Killer Bees take a shot at you or say that you have bad takes, it'll get under your skin.
Yes,
and then when you go, you pick up your kid and your kid does something wrong. Joe Jr. does something wrong. You might have an outsized reaction to the thing he did wrong because you're upset that the Killer Bees are chirping you.
Yep.
That's basically how I found myself with this, is because of the Astros, I'm scrutinizing this way more.
Yeah, that's fair.
However, I can step back and realize I'm overreacting, or I was overreacting. This is actually not a big deal. It is just because the other team in town does this all the time, and it turns out guys need Tommy John or have fractures in their hands that they didn't bother to check. I
still think that's so crazy. Jeremy and I have not recorded our Inside the Icebox this week, which now airs on Friday on YouTube and at 6 o'clock on Fridays. Where Astros are off on Thursdays a lot, so we pushed it back a day. Julian, we'll get to you here in a second. I can't believe this Yordan stuff.
Yes.
This
CJ stuff is not the Yordan stuff.
No, it is.
Let's make that clear.
And mainly because I don't understand why, just to be precautionary, there wouldn't be some level of imaging done before he gets back into the cage.
Before he swings a bat? Yeah.
Now that the swelling is down. Because you know the swelling's up and you can't get a good read on it. I'm not a doctor. But, like, it just feels logical that you would just double check before you really get this thing going. And it's not like it made it worse. Like he didn't make it worse, but they're just finding out he had a fracture in his hand. I just feel like, and frankly, for the Astros, they just don't deserve the benefit of the doubt anymore with injuries. And it might not really be their fault, but if you go back to Justin Verlander and the neck injury in quotes, that was really Tommy John, was reported as Tommy John. The Astros called Chandler Rome a liar. Essentially, he was right. Shocker. The Kyle Tucker injury that's happened. I thought this was interesting. I don't know, Sean, if you and Paul or Dell have talked about this, but the fact that Justin Verlander, I'm starting to find interesting. I saw this theory on Twitter and I agree with it. He came back very, very good after Tommy John. And remember, we all crushed him for not rehabbing with the team. And he rehabbed on his own.
Yeah, he's the one guy who rehabbed on his own. Wasn't around the team, and he came back and won a Cy Young.
And on the real timeline.
Yeah.
Unlike Garcia, McCullers, no one really expects Javier back in August.
Yeah. Or Keating.
No chance. Like, it's the one Astros conspiracy theory that I'm like, maybe Justin knows something that, like, he was.
Yeah. And it helps. It helps that it's also Justin freaking Verlander who's the one that, or you're like, if there's anyone who
has the right to not trust the medical staff because they've been in the baseball game for so long.
Yes.
JV gets that.
And also the idea of, like, he knows what's right for being an awesome pitcher because he's done it to a level that, what, like three other guys in this generation have done it.
Yes.
even though he's not a doctor. There's no reason for him to believe that he can look at a medical plan for Tommy John rehab and just go, no way. Like, that actually doesn't make that much sense. But just the effect that, you know, the whatever his reason for rehabbing away from the team, he was obvious, or I think it's clear that he was proven right. And I think that the conspiracy theory holds water.
Let's get to Julian here before we go to break. Julian, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy birthday. And then CJ Stroud, shoulder soreness. Y'all already touched on it. But is this Astros lingo for something serious? Have a good day, guys.
See you, Julian. I hope not. I think I'm also, like, I would hope for Texans fans that, like, the Astros are not going to use general soreness as discomfort that leads to major injuries. A lot harder to hide in the NFL. I know, especially in season, they are usually a little bit more honest about injuries.
Or at least, like, the timeline. For when a guy is out, they're honest about the timeline for him to come back. Where, I don't know if the Astros aren't being honest, if they actually just don't know. Because, again, look at the Yordan situation. But the also just having a injury update every day or every day after a practice of who was a participant, who was a limited participant, who did not participate. That also just helps curb a lot of the questions that you would have for a baseball injury, for that same situation in baseball, because there's not like a injury rehab steps or a injury report where you can track that.
Yeah. Other just quick thing as we're kind of bouncing around here talking about these two injuries that are happening. We'll take your guys' calls and reaction as well on the other side if you have anything left on this topic before we talk about the most wasted athletes in sports and a Texans take that I heard. I think Yordan Alvarez deserves some blame here. I'm not going to give him a pass in what's happening either right now. I know everyone wants to focus on the doctors and what's going on. And I know Yordan Alvarez is trying his best to be a good teammate. His teammates know that he wants to be out there. If you're hurting, don't take batting practice. Like, be more honest. You've been going out there every day. There's no way that home run you hit in batting practice off live pitching or off a coach pitching all of a sudden is what made you realize that your hand still hurt. He knew his hand hurt. He might not have known to the extreme, but, like, is he communicating this properly? Like, are we sure Yordan doesn't deserve some of the blame for Dusty Baker not knowing which hand was hurt, honestly, like, after all this time? Also, are we sure that there wasn't a fracture back then? Because now I'm not so convinced that, like, there wasn't a fracture back when his hand or hands was hurt either. I don't know. There's so many. I need a healthy season from some people. I need the Astros to be healthy. Just like a little
bit. Just a year where we don't have, like, where it doesn't define their season.
Yeah, like 2019 was great.
It was.
That was really the end. Or when was the Correa massage? Was that 2019?
That was 2019. I think that was the 2019 regular season.
I feel like that's where things.
I could be wrong.
That's where we jumped the shark. That's where the Astros jumped the shark. Was the massage with Correa. Because that's really like the. Whenever it was, I feel like that's the defining moment of the Astros injury staff.
That's the first
time. The trust being broken.
Yeah, that's the first time where we went, huh? With the Astros doctors. Where we're just like, wait, what?
He broke his ribs getting a massage? What do you mean? All right, Willie, we'll get to you on the other side. We'll talk some more Texans here as well. Joe George filling in for Dell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George filling in for Dell here today. Paul Gallant coming up next here. And then, of course, the Killer Bees. Kelly Eco of The Athletic says, regarding reports identifying Ime Udoka as possible target for the vacant Knicks coaching position, Houston has no interest in entertaining that. Duh. I think we assumed that earlier when we talked about
it. Yeah.
But, like, it was a fun segment before.
It's more of the kind of thought experiment of what would it take for a coach. Because Dell and I have actually gotten into this discussion before. We're in the NBA. Like, I just don't really value coaches outside, like, the top five and then the bottom five. Agreed. I think the middle 20.
And the top five all get fired still. Mike Malone.
That too.
That he might just be the Knicks head coach, to be honest. He's not mentioned any of this stuff, though.
Yeah, it would be a little tough because he's a little tipsy, you know, and normally
That's why Ime also, no sense.
Yeah.
Ime, Tibbs, not great offenses, maybe. Not totally sure about Ime yet. I think Ime is going to get there.
But elite defense.
Elite defense, yeah. Runs his guys into the ground, cares way too much about the regular season versus resting guys for the postseason. They're going to be the same coach.
Except doesn't play young guys.
Ime got his team farther than Tibbs ever did.
Yeah.
In 1 year with Boston. We'll see how he does with the Rockets. But, like, I don't think Ime and Tibbs are going to be that different.
It doesn't make sense to fire Tibbs and then be like, know who we want?
Yeah.
Ime.
Like, it's
or
like
Mike Malone, honestly.
Like, when Tibbs made the right call and left Jalen Brunson on the bench as the Knicks came back to win one of their games in the playoffs against the Pacers.
Yeah, game three.
He sat, Brunson sat to the final, like, minute 45.
Yeah.
And that's a very Ime thing. Now, Ime would not have put Brunson in at any point.
I think it became
that's the difference.
I think he put him back in for, like, a final possession and then free throws. Like, a final offense-only possession.
They had a couple timeouts, so he was going back and forth. But it was a defense thing. All right, let's get to Willie on the HRMP. Listen, on Willie, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Joe George. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. I actually forgot that you were filling in for Dell today, so imagine my surprise when I turned it on and heard your voice. But nonetheless, so the reason I was calling is because I was on Twitter just now, and I saw that Brad O had posted, like, from some, I guess, reliable Nets source that the Nets were interested in trading Cam Johnson and the 19th pick to the Rockets for the 10th pick, like they wanted to move up in the draft, and get rid of his money. And, you know, Sean can vouch for this. I have been calling into the Dell Show and saying this repeatedly, like, you know, instead of going for Giannis or going after KD, I feel like this is something, a move that they could make that would allow them to, allow the youth to grow some more, allow Jalen Green, Alfie, Jabari, and Amen grow, and, you know, also give them somewhat of a veteran presence, someone, you know, who's been around the block but still young enough to fit with the team. And I think this is a move that they should pursue. Like, I know Giannis is great and all, but I just don't – I feel like it's too soon to give up on this team to grab Giannis or KD or one of those big names. I will hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. Great show as always. You guys have a great day. Sean A. Makes, what it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling, Willie. I think that's an interesting one because, what, you're sending out probably Dylan Brooks? Or moving on from Dylan Brooks, if Cam Johnson is coming in to be like your small forward?
Yes, I think so. I don't have his contract in front of me, but I can look that up.
I mean, that's an interesting one because it brings a little bit more scoring, I would say, on a probably consistent basis. And he averaged...
And shooting. He's a 40% three-point shooter.
You need that. That move makes a lot of sense in terms of the fact that it's not a hard blow it up and redo this thing. It's adding a piece.
Yeah, 29 years old.
That fits probably well with this core. If that's the move the Rockets make this offseason, it to me does signal that they still are a firm believer in Jalen Green, or at least want to give Jalen one more year. And you add Cam Johnson to the mix, I think that would be a good move, honestly. If you're not going to do the if you can't get the big splash, that kind of falls into that next group of trades that makes some sense.
It's a continuity move where you're trying to elevate kind of what you have already. I also think it would be a little bit of a referendum, or maybe this is just the guy who gets traded for him, on Jabari Smith Jr. because they're not perfectly overlap as players, but they would kind of be eating into each other's minutes other's role a little bit. And the thing with Johnson is that he's just so thus far in his career, he's shown himself to be a much better shooter. He's hovers around 39-40%, where Jabari's been 36 is as high 2 years ago. So I think that's really the thing. Now you will have to pay Jabari Smith either this offseason, you'll sign him to the extension, or next offseason, he'll be a restricted free agent. So you will have to make a decision on what you want to do with Jabari, and Tari Eason also falls in that category. So any young wing or any wing that you get, I think does come at the expense of at least one of those guys. And I think with Cam Johnson, it's just he and Jabari Smith would be taking a lot of the same shots.
Yeah, I think someone from this young core I think is going to get moved this offseason. If Cam Johnson comes in, and let's say it was for like Dylan Brooks in the 10th pick, because they just want to move up, just as an example, and maybe like that's the Cam Whitmore trade. Do you then trade Jabari or Tari for maybe your Steven Adams replacement if you don't want to go the Brook Lopez route?
Yeah, or you bring back Adams and you use Jabari Smith in a trade to get one of the Celtics guys, whether that's White, Holiday, probably not Brown, just money wise. But if you could use that to get, let's just say Derek White, if you could use Jabari, because if I'm the Celtics, that's kind of what I'm looking for, is a younger guy to develop in the time where Jason Tatum is rehabbing and you're trading away a guy who's just about 30. I think Derek White's 30. If not, he's going to turn 30 but before Jason Tatum comes back. So the Celtics are in a weird position where they kind of need to build for 2 years from now, but they're also going to be good 2 years from now. So I think someone like Jabari would be something that could help the Celtics, and then you could also make the Rockets a little bit better, because maybe that's Green and Smith for Derek White. Maybe it's something like that.
Would you trade for Vooch?
No.
Because the Bulls are going to blow it up.
I wouldn't because of Shingun.
Yeah, I think they're too close. I don't think the double big thing works.
Because he's not – he's a good rebounder, but he's not quite –
he's not Adams.
Yeah, he's not the force that Adams is.
I actually think Lonzo Ball is the one that if they're not as high on Reed Shepard,
sale that they should look at.
Yeah, he's $10 million. He was really good last year before he hurt his hand.
Do we think the Bulls are going to blow it up?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they will.
Okay. I just have to ask with the Bulls, because
I think this is the year they'll finally do it. At least some of the pieces, maybe not all of them, like they should. But the Rockets have a lot of options. Like, they have a lot of young assets. They have draft capital now in the future. They have salary space. Like, by moving guys around, like, they can do a ton. They can go small. They can go big trade. Like, the Rockets offseason, the Rockets are to me the most interesting team this offseason in the NBA. It's not because we're here in Houston, but like, they just have the power to make moves that no one else really does. If Giannis is just available to the highest bidder, they can easily be the highest bidder.
Yeah, and they can make a trade they offer a lot of things that you'd be looking for in a trade. They can hit every option. If you're a team that's looking for, hey, listen, we only want draft picks, well, the Rockets have a ton of draft picks to offer. Hey, we're a team that wants to stay relevant in the meantime, as we're trading away this person, we would really want some like young players that can either develop, or at least we can like sell our fans on developing because we're trading away a star. So it's like, hey, the Rockets can give you some of those guys, some young, interesting players. They also have the kind of veteran piece. They have the $20 million Dylan Brooks helped make the math work kind of thing. So they have a lot of the ingredients that you would need to make a trade. So yeah, they can do anything. They can kind of make any trade. They're in a position where they aren't super precious about any of the young guys. So there's not a ton of like, well, you can't do this because what about that? It's like, nope, actually they'll probably be fine with that. So yeah, they're a very interesting team in the offseason. That's probably why you'll be sick of hearing them in every rumor, because
they're going to be in every rumor.
Yeah.
Big or small.
From two different perspectives. A, it's possible. Two, they're probably looking at it, or they could be looking at it. And three, even if they aren't looking at it, they're a good team to get leverage for if you're an agent trying to get your team to a specific spot, or trying to get your player to a specific spot and be like, hey, you know, the Rockets might come sniffing around. So, you know, it can work in a lot of different ways where you'll see them in so many hypothetical lists on NBA Central, and Shams will mention them when he's mentioning half the league for Giannis. So yeah, they're in an interesting spot for sure.
All right, when we get back, wasted athletes in honor of Paul Skeens absolutely shoving yesterday. Who are the most wasted athletes in sports? Before we do that, I want to tell you about what's coming up starting this week. The Summer Circuit is back. Join ESPN Houston every week as we visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. Each week, you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. For registration, just stop by our promo table at the broadcast. There'll be a little QR code that you scan that you can just hit and register that. This week, Paul and the Killer Bees will be hanging out at the Galaxy Adventure Party Room at the Kima Boardwalk. Come out and join us this Friday from noon to 6 at the Kima Boardwalk. Find the entire Summer Circuit schedule at ESPN975.com.
75 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Joe George filling in for Del. Final segment before Paul Gallant takes over, and Del will return to the show tomorrow. Forgot this, even though I see this commercial all the time watching MLB TV. It is very ironic that Yordan Alvarez is the face, sorry, Houston Methodist, of their commercials about recovering and being healthy and getting back on the field. I think they got to pull the plug on those commercials at some point. Like, I just chuckle every time I see it as Yordan Alvarez is out. I'm like, that's not a good advertisement. Like it's not your fault, but he's not on the field. Like, it should have been Altuve or something. Just Yordan was the wrong guy.
I was going to say it's a little bit their fault because it's not like Yordan was Cal Ripken before this year. Like, he didn't get hurt.
To be fair, they do keep healing him to get back on the field.
That's fair.
But the urgency that the commercial suggests, I have to disagree with.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, most wasted athletes in sports. Eric the Driver says Jason Kidd was one. I think that's fair. He was pretty wasted by his teams. I just think Paul Skeens is headed into this territory where you're looking at a guy who's right now the betting favorite to win the National League Cy Young in his first full season as a Major League Baseball player. This is my list, okay, of the most wasted athletes by their team. Mike Trout, Andrew Luck, Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders. Kevin Garnett deserves to be on this list because the Timberwolves absolutely wasted him. I know he won eventually in Boston, but KG belongs on this list. And then I think this one's not talked about enough because they had one of the best regular seasons of all time. And they lost in the first round of the playoffs, and they never made it back. And how often have the Mariners made the playoffs since they won like 116 games or whatever?
Okay. 2 years ago when they played the Astros.
I guess 2 years ago.
No, but that like did break the drought.
But that was the drought, yeah. But Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the most wasted at. He's right up there with Mike Trout in terms of not playing enough playoff games. And it wasn't just there, obviously, in Cincinnati, but that kind of became his own fault with injury. But like Ichiro and Griffey and A-Rod were on a team together. And they just were, wasted. Mike Trout's the one that obviously stands out the most because he's played in, what, 3 playoff games?
Yeah.
In his career?
And it was, at the start of his career, too. So it is, since he's become, or since he became the best player in baseball, and then now as he's kind of no longer the best player in baseball, but still, all-star most seasons when he's, again, when he's healthy now. It is a lot like Griffey in that way, where the meager success that he did have came so early that you kind of took it for granted.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to take the blame for this one because I don't want to be called a hater. So, Lion Pride 71 on Twitch. Andre Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Now, Texas has a franchise.
He had more success than Calvin Johnson. But not much.
I was going to say, did he? Did he?
I think so.
I guess that they won a playoff game.
I don't know if Calvin Johnson did. He had to have.
I don't know.
Like, I don't.
I only remember the one playoff game for the Lions with Stafford and Johnson against the Saints. That's the only Lions playoff game I remember other than last year's.
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember.
I can't think of another. I know that there has to be another one. I guess there doesn't have to be. But I think there's one more that I'm forgetting. But, Yeah, I think it's
he belongs on this list.
I think it's fair to say Andre Johnson because the Texans as a franchise haven't made the division or haven't made it past the divisional round. So I think he's definitely in there. You can make a case for Watt.
Andre Johnson played in double the amount of playoff games as Calvin Johnson.
Did he play in four?
He played in four. Calvin played in two.
What was the other one?
J.J. Watt belongs in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
J.J. definitely, I mean, he had some playoff moments, though, so I feel like it gets kind of washed away a little bit.
Yes, and it's a defensive player that you just, like, think about it less when it's a D-end as opposed to a quarterback or a or, you know, a baseball player, football player, or a basketball player.
Yeah. Yeah. Text line says Mike Trout, biggest waste, Andre, J.J. Carl Malone. He went to the –
back-to-back final.
Yeah, he doesn't count. He
played with another Hall of Fame team.
I think Dan Marino's a good one from the same texter from the 409.
See, that's where I don't –
Julio Jones.
I don't know how much of that was him being – let down by the rest of his team. I'm less familiar with Dan Marino's, like, the specific shortcomings of the Dolphins in the Marino era, where I know that he made the Super Bowl his, like, second or third year and never made it back. But I just off the top of my head, I don't know if, like, was he Peyton Manning out there throwing three interceptions?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, what, you were like probably like two when they made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs?
His final time?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Like when they
lost. It was like 99, right?
When they lost by like 40 or whatever to Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Like that's like the last time.
I thought you were going to say when he made the Super Bowl.
No.
My parents weren't married.
Tracy McGrady, Adrian Peterson, Yao.
Yeah, the injury stuff is tough.
Yeah, because like T-Mac and Yao, like if they're healthy, like they probably would have won the championship.
And I know the text line hates it when I bring it up, but to take it to Chicago. Derrick Rose, I don't think counts because he got injured.
He doesn't count. He had great playoff success until he got hurt.
I was going to say, what, one East Finals, right?
He got to one.
Okay.
He got something.
All right. One game one of that East count.
Fact. All right. That will do it for us today. Joe George filling in for Dell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next is the Paul Gallant Show with Paul and Sean from noon to 3. And then the Killer Bees. Nice hanging out with you all today. I'll be back from 6 to 7 with our radio version of Inside the Icebox, myself and Jeremy Brand. Plus, you can catch us on YouTube on Friday morning as well. So, thanks for watching. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?